Hello, beautiful, and welcome to Pure Happy Healthy. This is a podcast all about mindfulness in different fields that are dear to my heart. Join me for Mindful Me sessions, Mindful Model, Mindful Mensch, and Mindful Master, and dive into beautiful conversations. Hi, and welcome to another special Christmas episode. And this episode is really special because the person I'm speaking with is so special. It's Charlie, and they are such an amazing person. They are gender fluid, as you can already hear from the pronouns I'm using. And that's one of the topics that we will speak about the gender fluidity, how it feels, and all the things about language and how it has to do with it. But we speak about so many more things. Charlie is such a multi-talented person and into a lot of stuff that I'm also into. So we will speak about being interested in working in many different fields at the same time and the time of them to be homeless or houseless, as Charlie says, and what it has brought to their life and how it really changes perception about materialism and also the connection to oneself. And yeah, we speak about other topics like how to recognize their own boundaries and saying no to people and really living up to what feels good to you. So this is an amazing episode, and not only because Charlie has the most beautiful voice, it's so nice to listen to them. So enjoy. Yeah, I'm super, super happy and grateful to welcome beautiful Charlie McKee today on my podcast, Pure Happy Healthy. So hi and welcome.
Hello, thank you for having me today.
Yeah, I'm so excited to speak with you today because we've already realized we have so many common interests and topics. But before we get started, I would love to know, what did you have for breakfast this morning?
Oh, today I had such a beautiful, huge, abundant green smoothie. Like spinach, ginger, carrots, cucumber, coconut flakes. Oh, it was so good.
You're making like a wrap out of this. Yeah, sounds amazing. Would you like to introduce yourself? Because I think you can probably explain better what you do by yourself. So who's Charlie and what are you currently up to?
Who is Charlie? Well,
question, I know.
That's a big question. Yeah. I don't even know where to start with this one. I am a life coach, I guess, to begin. And my passion is just helping other people identify their passions and really opening their minds to the possibility that they can achieve anything that they truly desire. I also make rock jewelry because I am absolutely obsessed with rocks. The feeling I get from stones is incredible. I am in the process of writing a couple different types of books. One of them is a photo book that's bringing people together from all around the world. And I'm sending them all a disposable camera to capture vulnerability. So I'm very excited about that project. And yeah, I'm just trying to figure out how to live in a country where I don't speak the language. And it's going pretty well so far.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. I think it's so crazy. When we first met, we realized that we do all the same things. You're also doing photography and you've also worked as a model for quite a while. So what is it for you that it comes that you work on so many different things, and how do you handle working on so many different things? Because I know people ask me that question a lot, and for me, it's pretty logical. So I want to return that question for once and give it back to you, to someone else.
Well, I definitely get this question a lot because I was living in LA for 5 years, and in the 5 years I think the most I had was like 7 jobs at once, and I did an internship and I like was going to school full time. So I've always just been someone to stack things on my plate. And it's just because I have so many passions. It's so hard to choose. Like, I just see something or I have this idea and it fills my heart with so much joy. And I'm like, yes, let's bring this to life. I want other people to feel this. I want them to see this. And it just, it feels so good. Sometimes I get a little bit burnt out, definitely, if I am not taking care of myself and meditating and, you know, journaling. But for the most part, I love what I do in every aspect of what I do. So it's hard to be burnt out when you're doing stuff that you love.
Yeah, I definitely feel the same for me. And there are so many things to discover in life that I feel it's a missed opportunity to not go for it. And then something else in my life comes up and I'm like, wow, yeah, that sounds so cool. I want to learn this and I want to work in this field and I just go for it. But I know that a lot of people struggle with the idea of just going with something without knowing that it works financially, for example, or without knowing that they make a career out of it or even knowing if they can learn it. So do you know what it is for you that gives you the courage and the willpower to just do it anyways?
I mean, I think we can make money from anything if there's passion and love behind it. We just have to learn how to show it to the world and truly express ourselves through it. And so I don't know. My mom was a very unconventional human. Like, she would travel around the world and she would teach seminars. And she's a physical therapist. So she had a very conventional job and foundation, but how she carried that out was very unconventional. And she always taught me, as long as you're doing what you love to do, you will make money, you will be okay. And so I was very blessed and privileged to grow up in a household that really preached, just do what makes you happy and you're going to be fine. And obviously, like, I was in LA and I was going to school for marketing and communications. And I got a job as a marketing coordinator because I thought that this is like the adult thing to do. I'm like, yes, okay, I'm going to work a 9-to-5 in an office at 17. And I got there and I realized how terrible it was for me. Like, I'm not meant for a 9-to-5 office job. I'm not meant for something conventional. And I realized I wasn't doing what made me actually happy. I was doing what I believed society wanted me to do to be successful. So I ended up dropping out of university for marketing communication, ended up quitting that job and going to school for photography after that. And when I did that, when I aligned with myself and stayed true to myself, all of this financial opportunity came my way through unconventional means. And I was like, dude, my mom is a genius. Like, she's so right. I had to learn, but yeah, do what you love to do and it'll work out for you.
That sounds like you grew up with a deep, deep trust in life and also therefore in yourself and in your home environment. And that's absolutely beautiful. And I think if you have that trust and that roots, it really opens up so many opportunities for you to experience and, yeah, to be brave as well and try new things. And we've just talked about this before we started actually recording, that having that feeling of groundedness and that trust in life also makes it more easy to travel, for example, or maybe to go in situations where you don't know how life is going to continue, like for you moving into a different country, not knowing the language. Where you will live the next month and maybe not having a fixed job there or something, but having that trust really keeps you going. And you've also told me the first time we met that in a time in LA, you became homeless and you actually actively chose to be homeless. So I would love for you to tell me about it, because I think this is such interesting part of your story. And I'm really curious to know about from you what made you want to be homeless and what maybe you learned from that.
It was definitely an interesting part of my life. And it stemmed from, I moved to Los Angeles with a woman that I was in love with and it wasn't working out. So we had this apartment and, it just wasn't a good environment for me. So I had to be very honest and true to myself. And I moved out without having anything in the making, like no apartment, no friends, no anything. I just had a car. But I knew that I had to be good to myself. And by moving out, that was being good to myself, even though it may not seem like it would be, because I wouldn't have shelter and I wouldn't have, you know, these things that normally people would think is safe. It wasn't safe for me at that time. So I had to listen to my intuition and basically just take the car. And I lived in the car for a little bit. I made some of the most incredible friends of my life during that time, because I was very vulnerable with the people I was meeting, telling them my story. And when you are vulnerable, when you are real and honest and genuine, people meet you there and people are like, I see you and you deserve goodness. And so I met the most beautiful people of my life through that. And they all gave me like keys to their houses. And I stayed at houses for, you know, a lot of the time, but I also stayed in my car. I tried to, you know, I stayed at the beach sometimes and I was just constantly moving, but it filled me with so much gratitude. And it also helped me learn a lot about materials and that I don't need all this. I mean, you go to LA, and I'm sure it's the same anywhere. You go to LA and it's just, you want to be filled with materials. You want to have like this lifestyle where people see you in your house and it's like, oh, you're rich or you're successful because you have these objects. And I found myself getting really caught up in that lifestyle where I wanted more and more and more. And then being homeless and choosing homelessness, I want to say houselessness, not homelessness, because that's a different, I want to say I was houseless instead. Choosing houselessness, I just learned a lot about what was really important to me. I learned a lot about being vulnerable with myself, and that when I do things that are so important to me and so honest to me, even though they might not seem to the outside world like this is the best decision, when I follow that intuition, the most gorgeous things happen in life. And I wouldn't have developed into the human being I am today if I stayed in that environment of being in this unsafe household.
Wow, this is such a strong story. And I love that you said houselessness, because I think home, yeah, as you said, can mean basically everything, can be found in people, can be found in oneself, can be found in nature, wherever. So yeah, houselessness is such a good word for that. And sounds like you really grew with that experience and you learned a lot. Did you experience also any stigma from the outside from that, when people found out you're houseless, or any situations that you encountered where people made you feel uncomfortable about it?
I mean, I think this just is really about perception and perspective, I guess, because I still was working. I was working at Warner Brothers at the time. And so obviously I'm working in Warner Brothers in this entertainment industry, and people are like asking me questions about myself, and we're just having conversation. When I would bring up, oh, I'm houseless, or I'm homeless, or I'm sleeping in my car, the first reaction is always like, are you okay? And they would be worried and just, you know, brought back a little bit, which I understand completely, because it's not how anyone would really choose to live, or you would think that no one would choose to live like that. But then when I'm like, no, it's great. Like, honestly, I'm the happiest I've ever been. Then them seeing my genuine reaction of like, dude, I have a spark in my eye. I'm filled with love and gratitude, and I'm free. I'm able just to be anywhere I want to be and do anything I want to do. And this is the first time in my life that I felt this. They can see that from me when they're asking me these questions, and they're like, oh shit, like, okay. Now I have a different understanding of what being houseless in LA is. And I think it just tripped people up, honestly.
Yeah, I think that's why I ask, because I think New York is Los Angeles, New York probably as well, is such a materialistic place. And it's so much about your looks, about what you own, about where you work, your status. So I think it must be very confusing for other people to see that someone can be so fulfilled and happy without all these detachment to materialistic things or status. So maybe I'm sure you inspired a lot of people by doing this. And yeah, that's very wonderful. You also were going, when you moved to Berlin, you were going to a forest just by yourself, out in the woods for, I think it was 10 days. So was that kind of like a similar experience for you, or a similar idea behind it that you wanted to do this?
You know, mentally, I didn't put together that it would be similar to the decision to be houseless, but I'd say so. It's just taking away all of the commotion of everyday life and taking away the need to do something or to, I don't know, just fit this mold, and being out by yourself with no one to rely on you and you to rely on no one. I think that that's such a beautiful place to be, to kind of restart my own system. Just, you know, breathe for a moment and think about what's really important. So yeah, I would say that that was, it was a very similar decision as being houseless.
Would you say that maybe through those experiences, but also maybe before, you've really found yourself and you've found true self-love?
I think the decision in Los Angeles to not have a home, and basically the girl I was dating, I just gave her everything, even though like I paid for a lot of the furniture, everything. I'm just like, look, you need this. She needed the roots. And I understood that. And I was like, you just take that. Okay. And I knew that doing that out of pure love, it was a hard decision. It was a really hard decision, but doing it out of pure love, I feel like it taught me a lot about setting my own boundaries. And that was like the moment I feel when I just decided to move out, I really listened to myself for the first time in my life. And I listened to myself out of this pure love. And after that, I think it just kept snowballing into like me just really listening to who I am and what I truly want and don't want, and being very blunt with people. Like I found my no voice. I stopped people pleasing as much. I really stayed true to who I was after that. So I definitely think it was the beginning stages of my discovery of self-love.
Would you say, or did you experience that something changed on your outside in terms of the people you hang around with, or the way maybe you felt, or even maybe the way you looked or behaved when you set these boundaries and when you went on that journey for self-love?
I would say, you know, I wouldn't say too much changed like externally. Before I moved into being houseless, I didn't have any friends. I had no one around me. I had no one to talk to. So, you know, that saying, like, you are the average of the five people closest to you. And you know that you're in a toxic environment when you're just like the people around you are toxic. I didn't have that because I didn't have any friends. And so my external change in the way that I did find friends, because I was actually open to receiving this love. So I guess that did change, but it wasn't such a dramatic change. Like I had to leave behind all these toxic friends, how a lot of people have to do that in their self-discovery. But I did start really eating healthy and working out and being very aware of my body. And I think that the no voice is probably the biggest thing. Is even like going out and partying, I could say like, no, I don't want to do that. And that, like, my body doesn't want that. And eating fast food, it's like, no, I don't want this. And it was so hard for me to really emphasize no before all of this happened. And so I think that was the biggest thing, that it was a very internal thing of being able to say no, but it manifested externally, you know, like it helped me really make decisions in my outside world.
You said you came closer to your body, or really also started to feel comfortable in your body. Was that the time when you discovered modeling for yourself, or was that something that you've also done before that?
I always wanted to do modeling. And I did a little bit, like my ex, when I was living with her, she took some photos of me, but everything just manifested. When I listened to myself, I joined a talent agency as an intern to work for them. And they signed me like immediately as an actor. And I was like, this is crazy. I wasn't even trying to be an actor, but yeah, things definitely started rolling in so much more. And I think it was just this presence inside of me, this independence and this knowledge of self that people were like, oh my God, can I take photos of you? Or can I record you talking? Because like, this is nice. This is, we don't see this a lot. So yeah, I guess my desire to model was before that happened, but the act of modeling definitely took off after I listened to myself.
Yeah, because I feel when you feel comfortable in your body and when you feel very aligned and know your boundaries, then the modeling is so much easier. Or actually, I think you can only be a good model when you feel comfortable in yourself and when you know your boundaries and know what feels good to you. I don't know if you made a similar experience in this term, like the more you're aligned with your body, the better of a model you become, I think, because it's aligned and connected. Would you say the same thing counts for you?
Yeah, I think it's not just with modeling. I feel like that's just with everything. Like the more aligned you are with yourself, everything you desired in modeling, acting, your business, it doesn't matter. That alignment is really, it's the state of flow. It's the state of least resistance. And when you allow the universe to take you and you trust in the universe and you trust in who you are, anything, all of your dreams, they're right there. And the universe is like, okay, like, let me give this to you because you are open to receiving it.
Yeah, this is so beautiful. Yeah, I think it's so true. And it's really the art of manifesting. Like when you aligned with yourself and you really also when you know where you stand and who you are and also who you want to become, I think that's necessary in order for it to work. Because otherwise it's like, okay, give me something and then you will get something, you know? But if you're really look forward and you're like, oh wow, I think I would love to model, and you align yourself with it, then the most magic things will happen to you. Did you also have some other experiences with the manifesting where it really worked out for you?
Oh my goodness, so much. So much. But another, a big one that was a huge dream of mine, and I was saying it for so long. Basically, I went to university for fine art photography. And in my final portfolio for my professors, they had me have a five-year goal. And my five-year goal was to photograph a magazine cover. And I presented everything. They're like, your work is awesome, but maybe make that a 10-year goal. And I, like, you know, inside I was like, you know, I get it, but I can do this within 5 years. Literally within the next month, I was shooting two magazine covers. And there's a guy standing behind me when I was doing this shoot, and I was in just this pure state of almost like ecstasy. And I was just feeling so abundant. And this guy was standing behind me and he was just watching me. He asked me to get coffee with him later that day. I was like, okay, I don't know who you are, but I'm feeling so fluid today. So why not? And I sat down with him at coffee and he's like, you know, I'm the photographer for Vogue USA. And my mind burst. I was like, oh, why do you want to have coffee with me? And he ended up bringing me on to a couple shoots with him and giving me celebrity clients to shoot. And he also just wanted to be my mentor. And this is like huge for me. I've been wanting to get into this scene for so long. And it was genuinely just this manifestation of me being in complete alignment and allowing. I could have said no. If I didn't want to allow and receive, I could have said no to this random coffee date with this random older man. But it's literally all about receiving and receptiveness. And it's something that I'm continuously learning. It's never ending how crazy life is when you just allow.
And I think then it's also really diving deep with our intuition, because your intuition basically told you that you could go on that coffee date with that random guy, and you went for it because your intuition said that this was right. And in my experience, every time my intuition told me to do something or not to do something, it was always right. And when I don't listen to my intuition, I usually end up in very stuck situations. And like, it was so obvious. My intuition told me not to do it. Why did I do it anyways? And then I get very upset. I'm like, okay, next time I really better try
listening
to that intuition. And do you have any tips to someone maybe who is not very familiar and very connected to the intuition? Maybe what was something or what is something that helps you to trust your intuition or even connect back to that?
I think that this is, there's a lot of things. I think it's a deeper question. I think that it starts with really understanding who you are. And because you can't really, you can, but it's hard to listen to your intuition, your inner being, when you're not even tapped into it. So meditation, journaling, really understanding your own emotional responses and traumas. Because, you know, if I was a very feminine girl, and I, like, I'm gender fluid, so I'm very masculine. And, if I was a cis female who was female passing, younger, like I'm 23, and this older man was standing behind me asking me to coffee, like I feel like the situation would have been much different for many reasons. So I think it's just understanding your roots and what's safe to you, and meditation and your traumas, because that could have been a trigger, an older man approaching a younger female. That could have been a big trigger or trauma response, but really cutting that down and like, okay, well, he's human and I'm human. Why am I going straight to thinking that he's trying to do something gross towards me? And so it's just really about looking at your shadows, looking at your traumas, and getting to know yourself. And then I think that your intuition, it's like literally this pull that you can't really hide from. It's like this, it's yanking you in directions. You're like, what is going on? Why am I feeling so driven towards this one thing? But that's just intuition, and you have to really allow yourself to hear it.
Yeah. You already just mentioned it. You're gender fluid. So was that something that, yeah, you had to go deeper in order to really find yourself there? Or was that always something that was just the way it is and it was very easy for you to embrace that? Because I think society has a lot of opinions about that, or has a lot of prejudices maybe about that. So was that at one point a problem maybe even for you?
I mean, I grew up, I love that we're talking about gender fluidity. This is something that I don't really hear much about, so thank you for asking. I grew up in a very conventional, small, white town that was very religious, and there is no human being that was anything other than cis and white, really. Like, I had no role model, even on television, there's no role model. So obviously, I grew up very masculine, and I thought that there was just something different about me, and I couldn't figure it out. My dad was always angry at me for not wearing dresses or growing my hair out. And I always knew that I was in this middle ground. I remember being in the second grade, looking at the female bathroom and the male bathroom, and having this almost panic attack. In second grade, I don't know how old you are. You're probably like 8 years old. And I was standing there, had to pee so bad. And I'm like, well, I should go in the men's, but even like all the boys here know that I'm a girl. So why not just go in the girls? But I feel so uncomfortable, and that's not for me. And so it was like this internal dialogue that actually made it so I didn't use a public restroom from the second grade until I graduated high school at 17 years old, not at school, not in anywhere public. And so it was, there's definitely a lot of things that were really hard for me to understand about myself, especially not having a role model. But when I moved to Los Angeles, that's when I met non-binary humans, I met trans humans, and they asked me what my pronouns were. And let me tell you, when I heard that question, like someone said, what are your pronouns? Oh my goodness. That it melted my heart. I was like, what do you mean? What are my pronouns? I can choose. And they're like, yeah. And they told me that theirs were they and them. And I had no idea what that meant. And they educated me. And then I went home and I looked online and I found the term gender fluid. And I started crying. It's like, wow. In 18 years of my life, I never knew that this was a thing. And so when I heard the definition, that was the moment that it really all clicked for me, and it was very easy to accept. But up until then, there was no definition for me to really hang on to.
Yeah, I'm really glad we talk about this, because I think this is a topic that should come up more often in society, because it's so important, especially for younger people, to know that this is everywhere. You know, this is not something they need to be ashamed of, or not something to make them feel wrong, or like you, just the decision of which toilet to use. And that really shows that this topic hasn't come into society yet, because why don't we have restrooms for just either open for everyone, or one toilet for everyone who chooses to go to that toilet, if there's also for men and women, you know? So even these small things, as you can say, it's so important to really bring that up and bring that into the middle of society and make this also a bigger discussion. And I think it's really great that in English we have the pronouns they and them, but in German, for example, we do not have any fitting word for that. So I'm really asking myself, how is this possible that in the 21st century, there's still not a word for everyone who doesn't define either as a she or as a he? So what is your perception? Because I know, especially in the German language, or for people who don't have English as a native tongue, it might be challenging for someone who's not so familiar with these terms, they and them, to address a person, right? So what can we do to use it properly in our language? I mean, as for German, you probably won't know the answer there. And what do you tell to people who use the wrong pronoun for you? Is that something that is offending you, or how can we deal with that situation?
Well, you bring up some awesome points. And I think even in English, they and them isn't really, it feels very forced for people, because it's plural, and people are like, I don't understand that. It doesn't make any sense, so I'm not going to say it. So I think it's not really even a normalized thing in America. And so I think when you're in other countries, and even in America, just asking people, what are your pronouns? Even if there isn't they and them in other languages, they might have something that fits to them and say, you know, it's a very respectful thing to ask. And I know sometimes it's really hard to ask people what their pronouns are. And my stepdad has come up to me asking me, and friends have come up to me like, how do you do that? And I'm like, literally, I understand, because it's not normalized. I understand why it feels so weird, but it's literally just as normal as asking what someone's name is. Like, hey, what's your name? And like, what are your pronouns? I don't want to offend anybody, or like even saying like, hey, my pronouns are this, what are yours? So being gender fluid, my pronouns, and this isn't the same for everyone who's gender fluid, everyone has a different story, but my pronouns are any. I love she, he, and they. I have no preference at all. And so people don't really offend me. If they call me, you know, he, I'm like, okay, whatever. If they call me they, I really don't care, because I genuinely feel like all of them. So I haven't gotten offended, but I have heard, I've made a nice handful of German friends here. And some of them have said similar things of, they don't have they, them in the German language. And one of them was like, I'm just not going to even try. And at that moment I was like, I understand why you don't want to even try, because there's not really an option logically to you. But just asking someone the question of what are your pronouns, not preferred pronouns, what are your pronouns? That is such a very important, safe feeling space for anyone who is of LGBTQIA+, you know?
Yeah, thank you for bringing some clarity here. And it's interesting because yesterday I had an interview for the podcast with a trans person, and we were talking about similar things, pronouns and how we name someone. And she was saying that we should start all to introduce ourselves by saying, hey, my name is Leandra and I would like to be preferred called by she, her. And if even cis people do that, if everyone does that, it becomes normalized, and then you don't feel othered as an LGBTQ+ member needing to say this. So it becomes normalized for every person. And then that makes it so much easier. And then you don't even get to that situation where you have to decide, oh, do I even ask this question now? What are your pronouns? But you just tell it to everyone. And then as long as we don't have a word for everyone, I would actually prefer that. And like in Swedish, for example, there's a word for it. It's hen. It really refers to every person and every person, no matter what sexual orientation, what biological gender you are, like no matter, you can just say this pronoun and it counts for everyone. So I think this is super beautiful. And I, maybe if some person from the German government is listening, please bring that into discussion. I'm really curious. So how does it feel in terms of your feelings when you're gender fluid? Is it like you wake up and one day you feel very much in your masculine, or is it more over a period of time, or is it that you always combine the two aspects in all your thoughts and all your ideas? Like, how does it feel internally for you being gender fluid?
Well, it really depends, because sometimes I find myself being more masculine, and my masculine comes out when I want to feel safe and when I'm really trying to get things done, and really in an environment that, I mean, again, doesn't feel safe. And my feminine comes out a lot more presentably when I do feel safe and when I want to be creative. But throughout the day, I'd say, even though I might have more of a masculine compensation, my feminine will come out, and I think that it's like a river throughout the entire day. And this river is, you know, we have masculine on one side, feminine on the other, and it's intertwining, it's shifting, it's dancing together throughout the entire day. But maybe it's on the masculine side of the hill for like this week or this month. And then maybe it's on the feminine side of the hill for the next 6 months. And so it's this never ending dance that I feel I'm shifting in and out of. But when I feel myself not really being vulnerable with myself, that's when I realize that my masculine is overcompensating my feminine, even though my feminine wants to come out and enjoy the show.
Interesting. So you would define masculinity as a more doing aspect, as the safety giving aspect, and the feminine more as the creative, fluid, maybe emotional part. Is that define these two aspects, or is there something else about it that how you would define them?
Well, for me, I would define it somewhat like that. Of course, everyone has feminine and masculine energy inside of them. I think that I would define it like that, but also there's another layer to it, and I'm not even too sure how it comes about. It's just internally. Some days, even if I am feeling very in control, I'll desire to put a skirt on, which is really weird, because if you know me, it's like I could not see you in a skirt. But it could even happen in this very masculine way. It's like how men are wearing skirts now, which I love that. Thank you, Harry Styles. Thank you, everyone else who is just embracing this very feminine part of their masculine. I love that. So sometimes even in my masculine energy, I want to embrace the feminine part of my masculine, which is really confusing for me. It's just like, what is happening here? I have no idea, but it just feels good. So I really don't know how to define that even more. It's just what it is.
Then this question is a very personal one. So if you don't want to answer it, you can just say it. So I know, as for myself, while I move through my monthly cycle, I do feel very different aspects of myself. Sometimes I feel, maybe as you were describing, more in the masculine or more in the feminine aspect. And then it also obviously depends on my mood and my day and whatsoever. But I think most women having this menstrual cycle where they feel all these different emotions, all these different aspects of themselves, like driven by hormones, obviously. Does that mix to your gender fluid feelings as well? So would you also feel the cycle on top of that?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. And sometimes I'm not even acknowledging it, but yeah, I definitely feel very, I want to be nurtured. I want to be held. I want to be in such a feminine body, especially at the beginning of my cycle. And sometimes I'm like, why am I feeling so feminine? Like, I get frustrated because this underlying masculine presentation that I really desire, and this energy that I have, it's like hyper masculine, but then I'm on my period and I'm like, oh, please just hold me. And it's so confusing sometimes.
Wow, that really sounds like a roller coaster in terms of hormone mixes up and down. Mm. Yeah, I think it's really a gift, to be honest. I think it's so beautiful to really experience these two aspects of yourself, or even more aspects of yourself, in so many different ways. And I think it is such a learning, and it's such a great opportunity that you have there. And it's such a wonderful gift that you have. And I think it probably also makes you understand different people even better, because mm-hmm. you go through all this. These emotions and these different feelings, and feeling in your masculine and in your feminine so much. Is that also why you chose to become a life coach? Because you felt like you have a really a good feeling for people? Or
You know, I think a lot of things have made me desire to be a life coach, and it is the understanding of people. Like, I was talking to someone yesterday, and they asked me a very similar question, and I answered it in a way of like, I just feel like I'm very relatable to people who are different and people who feel stuck. Like, I was diagnosed with depression and anxiety. I have ADHD. I am gender fluid. I'm just not conventional in a lot of ways. Like, yes, I am white, absolutely, and I have this white privilege, but there are many things that I have gone through that make people understand that I didn't just get educated to make money to like help people. Like, I have fought through these things internally when I had no one to turn to. I had no role model. I had no one to look up to, especially in the gay community. And I'm just figuring it out and really embracing myself in all these ways. So I just feel like I am very relatable to people. And I also know what it feels like to be absolutely alone and feeling so lost and alone in this incredibly big world. Like, you see people all around you, but then you're like, no one looks like me. No one talks like me. No one has this thing that I have. Like, I know what that feels like. So I think that really pushed me into desiring to help people who are feeling different or are feeling lost or unseen, to really show them, like, you feel lost now, dude, but I can promise you, you will feel seen so soon if you see yourself. And that's the most important thing, is you have to see yourself and acknowledge who you are. And you have to really love every aspect of you, even though it's different and weird and people might make fun of you for it. It doesn't matter, because you are gold and you are energy and you are love. And once you see that, then you will feel seen, because people aren't just seeing you for these differences and these unconventional ways of you being. They see you as a human being, and you see yourself as that. So that's really what motivated me to be a life coach.
Wow. That was mind-blowing what you just said, and therefore I would love to keep that as the last note here, because it was just so strong. Is there any other last word that you would like to share before we end this interview here?
Yeah, actually, I want to end it on a quote that has really changed my life, and I say it a lot in my videos and in my podcast and everything, and it's, how you do anything is how you do everything. And that is it. It changed my life. How you do anything is how you do everything. So how you put away the grocery cart, how you say hello to your neighbor, how you love yourself, how you do anything in your world is how you do everything. And if you want to be the best version of yourself, you keep that in mind and you start doing things with genuine passion and intention.
Thank you so, so much, Charlie. This was just such a mind-blowing, amazing conversation, and I'm so incredibly grateful I met you. This is, it's just blowing my mind. That was the universe bringing you into my life. So thank you for all the work that you do. I will link up to all the work that you do in the show notes. You have your own channels on TikTok, on Instagram, your life coaching, your stones, you do so many things. So I link up to all of that if people want to get in touch, and I can just highly recommend you. You're just such a light and such a wonderful human being. So thank you so much for being you, being here and speaking to me.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you and everything that we're doing together. It's beautiful.